You would turn now to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. Page 796 in your pew Bible. Zechariah chapter 9. Rather than reading verses 9 through 13, we will read verses 1 through 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. This is the word of the Lord. The oracle of the word of the Lord is against the land of Hadrach, and Damascus is its resting place. For the Lord has an eye on mankind and on all the tribes of Israel, and on Hamath also, which borders on it, Tyre and Sidon, though they are very wise. Tyre has built herself a rampart and heaped up silver like dust and fine gold like the mud of the streets. But behold, the Lord will strip her of her possessions and strike down her power on the sea, and she shall be devoured by fire. Ashkelon shall see it and be afraid, Gaza too, and shall writhe in anguish, Ekron also, because its hopes are confounded. The king shall perish from Gaza, Ashkelon shall be uninhabited, a mixed people shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of Philistia. I will take away its blood from its mouth and its abominations from between its teeth. It too shall be a remnant for our God. It shall be like a clan in Judah, and Ekron shall be like the Jebusites. Then I will encamp at my house as a guard, so that none shall march to and fro. No oppressor shall again march over them, for now I see with my own eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is the word of the Lord. Zechariah chapters 8 and 9 speak of the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, the mystery of the gospel, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Zechariah chapters 8 and 9 speak of the way, Romans chapter 11, verse 26, in which all Israel will be saved. It has been over a month since our last sermon in Zechariah, but if you can remember that far back, you may remember that this is suggested in several ways through these chapters concerning this mystery, concerning the inclusion of the Gentiles and the promises of God to his people. First, in chapter 8, verse 13, the Lord promises to save the house of Judah and the house of Israel. After the reign of King Solomon, on account of his turning away from the Lord, the kingdom of Israel was split into two houses. It was split into the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Israel was thereafter a separate kingdom consisting of 10 tribes. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 31. And on account of her abominations, she preceded Judah into exile. 2 Kings chapter 17. Being taken into exile by the kingdom of Assyria, after which Judah eventually likewise, on account of her abominations, was taken into exile by the kingdom of Babylon. 2 Kings chapter 25. Now, in Zechariah, Zechariah prophesies to the people of Judah. He prophesies to the people of Judah upon their return from exile, upon their return from Babylon. But the people of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, have not returned from exile at this point. In fact, they never return from exile in the Old Testament. But in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13, the Lord promises to save not only the house of Judah, He promises to save also the house of Israel, to save them and to make them a blessing. This is the fulfillment of His promise to Abraham. But the way in which God does this, the way in which He fulfills this promise, that is the mystery of the gospel. That is the mystery of Christ. For having spoken of Judah and Israel in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13, the Lord goes on to speak of Judah and the nations. Indeed, we may say that Israel scattered among the nations, but she becomes identified with the nations. So that in chapter 8, verse 23, it is not 10 men from the 10 tribes of Israel that we find holding to the robe of Judah, but it is 10 men from the nations of every tongue holding to the robe of Judah, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." This mystery of the gospel, it is also revealed in Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, which begins with an oracle against the land of Hadrach and Damascus, its resting place. Now, I've had to wait over a month to correct a geographical error from my previous sermon. But at last, I may now do so. Before, I misspoke, if you remember, in stating that Damascus was the capital of the northern kingdom. Damascus was not the capital of the northern kingdom. Damascus was not the capital of Israel, but the capital of Syria. And in my haste, I confused Damascus with Samaria, which became the capital of Israel, the capital of the northern kingdom. Now, having corrected that geographical error, in Zechariah chapter 9, God is pronouncing judgment upon the nations. He is pronouncing judgment upon the nations that surround the northern kingdom, nations that include Syria and Philistia. But the conclusion of this judgment, the conclusion of God's judgment against the nations, is the preservation of a remnant. God's judgment upon the nations It here parallels his judgment upon his people and his promise to his people. As his judgment upon his people was unto their salvation, so also his judgment upon the nations here in Zechariah chapter 9 is unto the promise of their salvation, unto the promise of their inclusion, unto God taking them to himself as a remnant. A remnant of his people. God consigns all to disobedience, both Jew and Gentile, that he may have mercy upon all. It is in this way that all Israel is saved, through salvation going to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth among which Israel was scattered. This is what we saw in Revelation chapter 7. After the number of the sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel is heard, what is seen is a multitude. A multitude that cannot be numbered from every nation. From all tribes and peoples and languages, together standing before the throne, together standing before the Lamb. It is through the inclusion of the Gentiles, it is through your inclusion that God fulfills his promise to Abraham. It is through your inclusion that God fulfills his promise to Israel. It is in this way that all Israel is saved. It is in this way that God gathers to himself all his people, the house of Judah and the house of Israel, through the Gentiles becoming fellow heirs, likewise a remnant for God, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 7, like a clan in Judah, like the Jebusites, who were the original inhabitants of Jerusalem, the place of God's dwelling. And so in verse 8, it is to Jerusalem that God comes. In verse 8, it is to Jerusalem that God comes, promising to encamp at his house as a guard, so that none shall march to and fro, that no oppressor shall again march over it. This was the task that was given to Adam in the garden, to guard the sanctuary of the Lord. A task which Adam failed to do, instead defiling God's sanctuary through his transgression. This was the task that was given to Israel in the land, to guard the sanctuary of the Lord. A task which Israel failed to do, instead defiling God's sanctuary through her abominations. But here in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 8, we are told that it is a task which the Lord himself will accomplish. That he himself will guard his house, granting his people rest, rest from their enemies on all sides. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the Lord is making known the way in which he will come to Jerusalem to give his people rest, to accomplish for them what Adam failed to do, to accomplish what Israel failed to do. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the Lord makes known the way in which He will come to Jerusalem to give His people rest. He makes known the way in which He will accomplish their salvation. He makes known the way in which their King will come to them. In verse 9, we hear, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem." Why? Because, behold, your King is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is He. But how does He come? Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In contrast to the glory and power of those nations in Zechariah chapter 9 against which God has promised to execute His judgment, the coming of Zion's King, the coming of Zion's King is in humility. In Zechariah chapter 6, we already noted how John, in his gospel, demonstrates the fulfillment of the crowning of Joshua the priest and the crowning of Jesus, not in power and glory, but in His death. In Zechariah chapter 6, in presenting the King of God's people to His people, He says before them, "Behold the man." And what they see is this priestly king crowned with glory and honor. But in John chapter 19, when Pilate, likewise presenting the King of Israel, the King of God's people, to his people, and likewise saying, "Behold the man," what they see is not a priestly king crowned with glory, but one crowned with thorns. This attaining of glory through suffering, this fulfillment of exaltation through humiliation, it is made explicit in Zechariah chapter 9. Pilate says not only, "Behold the man," he says also, "Behold your King." Pilate, who has just said, "What is truth?" Here he speaks the truth, announcing before God's people what God, through Zechariah, had announced long before. "Behold your King." Do not trust in princes. Do not trust in chariots. He comes to you not with power and glory, but in humility. Not upon a war horse, but upon a donkey. Why? Because of the salvation He brings. Not salvation from political adversaries, but salvation from sin and death. This is how the Lord fulfills His promise. This is how the Lord fulfills His promise in his judgment upon the nations to take away the blood from their mouth, to remove their abominations from between their teeth. This is how he fulfills his promise to take them as a remnant to himself, to save Judah and Israel, to make them not a curse, but a blessing. By taking that curse upon himself, he removes the curse from his people. By making Christ sin for you, he has removed the abominations from between your teeth. By shedding the blood of his Son, he has taken away the blood from your mouth. The power of this world will fail. You have been saved from its pride through Christ's humility. You have been saved from its sin by his righteousness. When the Lord of glory came, he came as a servant. When the Lord of glory came, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to save you. To take you to himself. This is the grace of God. This is the grace of the gospel. The grace of that mystery now revealed in Christ. For he has come with your salvation. Behold the man and rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Behold your king and shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Amen. Let us pray.